Welcome to The Clean Truth, where we like to call bullshit on the status quo.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of The Clean Truth. I'm Don.
I'm Aaron Summers.
I got a hell of a surprise yesterday when I came home from work.
Just a little surprise.
I walked in the door and Aaron and his fiance Taylor were at my house.
I think you were pretty confused when you walked in and saw us, though.
I was very confused.
Caught me really off guard. It was more of a look of... Dude, what are you doing in my house, and why didn't you text me that you were coming?
It was a shocker. I called my wife on the way home, and it was a weird conversation. I knew something was up. I'm like, are you not wanting to talk or what? And she said, I can't even remember what she hem-hawed around about. And I'm like, all right. And I was kind of an asshole. I was like, all right, well, just call me back whenever you can talk. Click.
So yeah, it's funny when you called, because we just literally got in the car from the airport, and you know, she doesn't even tell us you're calling. I just assume, you know, hey, I should probably not say anything while she's on the phone, because could be Don, could be whatever. And then that's what she said after. Oh, that was Don. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. We better get home.
Yeah. Well, the surprise was a brand new French bulldog puppy, 8 weeks old. Her name is Luna.
Pretty cute pup.
So normally we started doing show and tell / product review.
Yeah.
So I figured Luna would be the show and tell. And she's not in my office, so I can't pick her up and put her on camera. But
I don't even know if you could barely see her from the camera distance. She's pretty small. Couple pounds, pounds.
Just check out my Instagram page. I'm sure it'll be flooded with pictures of Luna here soon.
Couple cute pics.
Scott, what do you got for truth or dare, man?
Truth or dare, huh?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, how did this get started? I don't remember.
It was just a new idea that we came up with, something for fun that we figured we'd start.
Yeah, we've been doing it the last couple weeks, except the one dare that we've had, we still haven't had the opportunity to do, which was a bench press contest between me and Ben with half our body weight.
How many reps?
So,
what do you think you could get? What's half your body weight first?
So I'm probably 212, 215.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Was that 105, 106, something like that? Maybe 45, 50 reps probably?
I bet you could do. I bet you could do more than that. We did a 90-pound what was it? 95 pounds, yeah. Just the bar and 25s to see how many reps we could get. And I think I did something like 80, and the guy, Jake Arvold, one of our employees that won it, I think he did like 110 reps.
Jeez.
I mean, it's a lot of reps. I mean, even if it's just a bar, I mean, just the movement alone, I mean, you get tired.
I would cramp up before that, I think.
Yeah. It was pretty fun, though, to do it.
Well,
we can do it later today. We do half body weight
today. I was going to say, we'll get it done this weekend. It'll be live on Instagram, because we got to get it done.
I'll jump in on that.
I'm not going to puss out on that one.
We have a few beers first, and then, you know, really make a good time out of it.
What you got?
So, most embarrassing moment.
Ever?
Ever.
Man.
And we got to keep it PG, huh?
I mean, clean truth.
Yeah. Man, you're the guest. I'm going to let you go first so I can think for a second.
I got to rack my brain, too. That's a hard one. Most embarrassing moment. Well, I mean, embarrassing / very nervous. I mean, knowing Sal Frisella, we were doing a 30 for the Kids charity event. We just wrapped up 30 for the Kids, you know, event here at the beginning of the month. When was it? Did you come to the one? No, you weren't at the one where we did the Vianney High School workout.
Mm-mm.
That was last year. We just did a 30 for the Kids charity workout, which is for those of you that don't know what it is, it's just a 30-day challenge where, you know, you pay $30 to be a part of the challenge. All the money that's raised goes to supporting an orphanage that we take care of over in Haiti. Takes care of all their food, their, you know, water, their shelter, you know, their housing, their medical care, schooling, Bible study, all of that. We've done it now for the last couple of years. We've raised, you know, a little over, you know, $600,000 total for the charity, fully funded the charity every time. But at the end of every 30 days, you know, you pay your $30, do one of five workouts every single day. We typically do some big group workout. We're not able to do it this time with COVID-19 stuff going on and limiting our ability to get together. But last year's group workout, we were supposed to be doing the check presentation, for $110,000, whatever it was that we raised for that 30 days. And I forgot the check. Sounds like, Aaron, where's the check? I was like, that's a good question. Where is the check? I didn't grab the check. Oh. So, that's always fun. Have a big crowd of people, people filming, supposed to be unveiling this, extra large, 3x6 check, and no check to be found. So it's always a fun point to be, put on the spot and not follow through. Sal always, likes to remind me of little things like that I've messed up over the years.
I would have to say, man, there's just too many to name. I don't get really embarrassed. I'm pretty, it's very hard to physically embarrass me to where I'm uncomfortable. Some of them that I can think of though were early on when Ivana and I opened Clean Eats here in Wilmington, way before we franchised. We were just at that point it was a bodybuilding meathead cafe, Yep. And I was dieting for a show, and I don't remember which one it was. I don't know, but I was using Tony Friedrich, was doing my prep way back then, and I was miserable, just miserable day in, day out. And you still have to go to work, you have to perform, you have to put a smiling face on. Well, back then, when Yvonne and I were the only two employees, she would work the line, she would cook, and I would be the front counter, and I would always have to talk to customers.
It seems miserable.
Oh, when you're dieting like that, and you're hungry, and you're moody, and you're crabby, some of the reviews that got left on me personally and called out, they're still on there. If you go back to Google, and you can spend the time to scroll back to 2013 and read some of those reviews, I've been called a tattooed roid freak. I've been called just about everything. And
those customers ever come back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just looking back at some of that and thinking back about how kind of big of a jerk and an asshole I was, without having maturity that I do now and understanding of being a business owner and how important that is, and which ironically kind of segues into, I think, what we were going to talk about today. I don't really have a topic, but I think having you in town, being a part of First Form and doing what you do on a daily basis, especially your role, is one, having good leadership and management skills, and then two, understanding that customer service aspect of business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's really, I've been with First Form for, almost 7 years now, and actually, getting started, I came from an unrelated field. I was a personal trainer and stuff through college. It's how I, kind of paid my way through school. So I always have been, and I played sports. I've always been in the fitness industry, loved working out, but not what I went to school for. My family owns a limestone quarry up in Northwest Missouri. I grew up just in that, field of mining, and, figured that's what I would do, go to school. I went to school for geology and political science, figured I'd get into kind of the oil and gas side of things. Maybe one day, kind of take over our family business and do that.
That really explains the work ethic.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. From
that's
driving,
easy work.
Driving a big machinery to, pounding rocks with a sledgehammer. Right. It's definitely long, hot days out in the sun, but oof. That's where I learned a lot of good work ethic from my dad, and just, paying attention to the little details and a lot of that, keeping my stuff clean, taking care of things. I was working for him from, the time I was 10 years old, helping out in the shop through, I went to college. So went to college, got a degree in geology, political science, moved to Duluth, Minnesota, worked for a mining company up there for a while, wasn't really happy doing what I was doing. And I'd kind of known of Andy and Sal and Chris, with supplement superstores originally because, our guy on the football team in college, had worked for them before he came to school. So that's kind of where the connection all started at up at Northwest Missouri State. And we were back at college in the summertime for another kid that was on the football team that was graduating, and, he had kind of went back to school, or went back to St. Louis, worked back for Chris and Andy at Supplement Superstores, was telling me about all the opportunities coming up with First Form. And this is when First Form was just really kind of getting started up off the ground, before that we were really, even on social media. thought it was a cool opportunity, you know, would follow those guys online, looked like a cool place to work. And that's kind of, you know, where I just, hey, could you get me an interview there? And, you know, kind of fortunately had the opportunity to move to St. Louis. And, you know, I wanted to work for First Form, but Andy's like, you know, hey, well, we don't really hire anybody direct. If you want to move here, work at S2, you can work your way up. So that's where I got started, was just working in the retail stores for the company and, you know, learning the core values of the company. I'd never really had any sales or retail experience. I was not good at it for sure. You know, a lot of customers would come in and I didn't know how to sell their product the right way.
It's very hard.
It is.
It's hard if you don't know. I struggled with that for a long, long time at the cafe, learning that aspect.
But. Well, and that's a lot of what, you know, to this day, you know, it's not like I'm a tremendous salesperson by any means, but, you know, through what I've learned from Andy and Sal and Chris and just a lot of guys at both companies or all the companies they run, it's you don't even have to be a good salesperson. It's about how you treat people and how to have conversations with people and how to figure out, okay, what does this person need? What do they care about? You know, and that's what Sal's always taught me from day one. You've got to give to get. You know, yes, okay, our goal here is to make a sale, to sell the product. But, you know, to do that, you have to care about what that person wants. It's not about what you want. And you've got to, you know, give that person your time and take time to get to know them and ask questions and really listen and not, I mean, that's what I messed up a lot in the beginning was I wouldn't listen to what the person was even saying. I knew in the background of what we kind of need to sell, what our products were, you know, and it was always me trying to push my agenda. And that's why I didn't do well. And customers would come in wanting to buy product and I'd do such a bad job that they would walk out not buying anything. You know, and it took a while, you know, to learn, you know, how do you have conversations? How do you listen to people, uncover the needs that they want, and then just, you know, teach them how to get to where they want to go. So it's been a fun journey, you know, starting from the retail sales experience, moving into working for First Form, now running really all of our sales guys that work in our Legionnaire program, which is kind of our affiliate athlete program with our company, just and constantly working on developing better systems to take care of our people. Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, how you treat people is you know, how the company's going to, you know, perform.
Absolutely. That's a crazy story, man. I never really knew how in the beginning, you know, your beginning connection there, but it's kind of comes full circle. So, you know, if you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you struggle with those sort of things, you know, and I struggled with the same thing with the customers that came into our cafe, getting tongue tied. I would struggle to sell them meal plans.
Yeah.
You know, just because one, we would be busy. Two, I didn't have those people skills. But knowing in the back of my mind, I was trying to make a sale, and it just, you know, stumbled around. But that's a pretty cool story coming full circle of being very uncomfortable doing it, not having the skill set to do it, to now, what did you say, 7 years?
Yeah, with the company almost
7 years later, running their sales department, like being in charge of all the guys that are – their job is to do the one thing that you struggle to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely, cool. Absolutely. I mean, it's been a lot of fun too. I mean, and it's to this day, you know, we work with new reps all the time that work in our Legionnaire program, and they're kind of independent contractors of our company. They run gyms, they're personal trainers, they're online influencers, and the same things I struggled with in the retail space. I mean, that's what they struggle with in whatever space they're in, whether that's in, you know, digital marketing, whether that's on social media, whether that's working with a client in person. You know, they've been you know, supporters of the brand for a long time, using the products themselves. It's where a lot of them start as just as a customer, and, you know, end up falling in love with the culture that we have, the company that we have, what we have going on, you know, and they make that kind of transition to, okay, now they're working with us in kind of a sales capacity. And as soon as, like you said, in the back of their mind, they know, okay, I'm making a sale. It just, they get weird about it, you know, because they're worried about, they're thinking about, okay, well, you know, am I just pushing this product because I'm going to make a commission, or, you know, and it goes from this being a natural recommendation of, you know, why this product's going to help them to, you know, now they feel like they're selling it and have to kind of learn how to do that the right way. So, you know, it's taken a lot of time really being able to, I mean, we're on the phone with those guys and girls, you know, or through Zoom video, you know, conferencing, whatever, every single day, just teaching the basics of really building relationships and taking care of customers. Because, you know, we have a saying, if you make a friend, you make a sale.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of people get that twisted. They don't focus on the relationship piece of it, and that's where they go wrong. Some of our top salespeople in our company, I mean, they're not amazing salespeople. They're also not the most educated on supplements. They're also not the most jacked, in shape person. They're just good people that care about other people, and that comes through when you have a conversation with them. You can tell when you're sitting down there and talking with them that, you know, they're not trying to push a product to just so they can earn a commission. They genuinely are listening to what you have to say, and they care about whatever your goal is, whether that's weight loss, whether it's, you know, they're trying to build muscle, get ready for a show. Maybe they just want to be healthy. Maybe they want to be in better shape so they can play with their kids. But, you know, they're listening. And a lot of times, you know, going back to Sal's point of you've got to give to get, it doesn't even start with making an actual sale of our product. You know, it's they're taking time to help them maybe with a meal plan or take them, meet them at the gym and show them how to do some exercises. But through doing that, that's where, you know, make a friend, make a sale happens. Okay, you build a genuine relationship with this person and they end up wanting to support them. It's just like you guys. Like, you know, I like supporting you guys as a company because you guys have done so much for us. Like, I almost feel, you know, obligated to, you know, do what I can to help you guys in any way possible, you know, because you've done so much for us, you know, personally. And it's just, it's that mutual respect and wanting to support each other. And it takes people a long time to learn that, though. But as soon as, you know, they learn that and really grasp that concept, you know, they start doing amazing. So.
Nice. I know one of the things that's been the most impressive for me to watch as you guys have grown First Form into what it is now is the leadership aspect from the top all the way down. And I talked to Sal about this when we were on that Haiti trip.
Yeah.
You know, that was one thing on those long hikes, I would pick his brain. And, you know, I remember very, very vividly asking him, and I used you and Will as an example. I said, you know, how did you and Andy and Chris get guys like Will and Aaron and some of these other guys in your office to not only be good, like not, I don't want to say good guys and good at your job, but like, you know, to be good leaders, to like basically would take a bullet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And do whatever it takes to get the job done for the brand, you know, because we've done a really good job of that here lately. We've been very fortunate and very lucky to get, you know, the guys that we've got, you know, guys like Scott, Ben, Kyle, you know, so, I mean, we're building that, but it's taken time. And, you know, even on that, when on that trip to Haiti, we didn't have some of these guys. And, you know, the one thing he said was tough love.
Yep.
It was tough love. You have to kind of, you know, let people go and not micromanage them, give them a task, let them do it. If they screw it up, instead of just pounding them on the end of the dirt and saying, hey, man, you're an idiot, you screwed this up, blah, 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 this is what you did wrong, blah, 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 blah. You know, explain to them nicely, professionally, but sternly, tough love.
Yep.
You know, hey, you know, this is where you went wrong. Next time, try it this way. And it kind of almost gives them a little bit more of a responsibility thought process, I guess, which that's kind of how I used to run my framing crews when I was a carpenter. I was never a yeller or a screamer.
Yep.
And I don't know if any of you guys have spent time on a construction job. Exactly what I'm talking about. 90% of them are. I knew that. I knew I was never going to be like that because that's how I came up in that field. So all of the guys that used to work for me are in the same subdivision as I did. They always wanted to frame on my crew because they knew they weren't going to get screamed at.
Yep.
But they also knew that if they screwed something up, they were going to be held accountable for it.
Yep.
And they knew that I had a way of dealing with that to where they would never freaking do it again.
Yep. Yep.
I can't tell you how many kids would come to me and they would blister a wall together upside down and 10,000 nails with a nail gun and the header would be in the wrong spot. And I'm like, well, here's a nail puller, man. I'll see you after lunch. And I wouldn't let them take lunch. And I'm like, you can't do anything until you fix that.
Until you get this wall done. Yeah.
And they'd take 2 or 3 hours for them to fix it. But I guarantee you that kid never built a wall upside down and wrong ever again.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's really just a blessing of, you know, look, I mean, I had really outside of sports, you know, which I think will teach you a lot of valuable leadership skills. But outside of that, was never really in a role where I was in charge of other people or had a lead, you know, on projects or anything. And, you know, Will, Cody, you know, myself, I mean, we were very blessed with obviously just having, you know, amazing leaders in our lives with Sal and with Andy and with Chris and, you know, the guys just at First Form HQ that were there before us. And it was a long process, you know, but, you know, the core of all of us that, you know, have been there for a long time that, you know, are kind of running different divisions of the company. I mean, you made the statement of, you know, would take a bullet, and all of us would. I mean, whatever it took, whatever was needed, or, you know, whatever had to be sacrificed, you know, we have a bond that is a very family oriented bond, and also kind of a very locker room, you know, sports team type bond. And, just like you were talking about with your framing crew, you know, Sal and with me and Will in particular, because we work very closely with Sal, and he's really mentored us and brought us up through.
Sure.
I mean, my first position in the warehouse when I was, you know, this goes back to 2014, when I quit my job in Duluth, moved down to St. Louis to work the retail stores. I mean, I was making minimum wage at the time and, you know, took a big pay cut to even come down and have the opportunity, but I knew I could do well there. And if I did well, it would be worth my time, you know? So coming in, working minimum wage, like, you know, I was working multiple jobs, and that's what they had some openings even at the First Form, the old office we were in back in the warehouse, just folding t-shirts, you know, packing orders, whatever it took. And, you know, that's where I kind of got started there. It's like, hey, look, I don't care what you guys need help with. If there's something you need help with, I'll be there and I'll do it. And, you know, Sal saw that in me early on, that I was willing to sacrifice and willing to, you know, prioritize, you know, the company before I ever had a real role there, you know. And he took an interest of that, of, okay, he would test me and give me a little task to do, see how well I do it. If I would, you know, execute on that perfectly, you know, him or Andy would give me something else to do, you know. Andy would need something. Hey, will you run this car over to my house or something? You know, or you go over to my house and plug in these cars and test me, see how I do. You know, give me another opportunity to do something a little bit more important. And it was just kind of testing. And if, hey, if I didn't do it correct, just like you said, they'd never, you know, demoralize me or publicly shame me within the company, but they would pull me aside, you know, and sternly talk to me. And just like you said, I would never make that mistake again. And it was constant development. For, you know, the first 4 years that I was in the company, of, you know, being tested, given opportunities to go and do something maybe outside of what my role was with the company, and you know, have an opportunity to shine. And on little things, they would give me the room to, they would see me doing it the wrong way, but they would let me make the mistake.
Absolutely.
So they could come back and teach me how to do it, you know, the right way the next time. In a big situation, and this was probably year three of me being at First Form, when I planned, because I do a lot of the event planning as well. You know, Sal let me plan Summer Smash that year because Enzo was expected to be born right around that time. So he wanted, in case he was born, to have a backup plan of somebody that could run it. So, you know, that was kind of my first like big company test where, hey, I have a really good opportunity to either do well here or mess something up. And, you know, in those situations, if, you know, there was something serious on the line that I was going to mess up, hey, he'd let me get close to there. And then he'd pull me back and, hey, this is what's about to happen, you know, and correct me. So I never made those kind of fatal mistakes. But a lot of that loyalty is built in them just taking time to invest in us, to build us into leaders. And that's why, you know, I would, for any of those guys, whatever they ever asked of me, I don't care if it was I need to, you know, drive across the country tonight at a, you know, moment's notice to go hand deliver a package to somebody today, or, you know, if I need to bury a dead body in the backyard, like, I mean, whatever we need to do, we need to do. But you know, they've invested so much into us and helped us so much along that, you know, it makes us loyal to them. And, you know, it makes me not want to let them down in any situation. So I'll do whatever it takes to make sure the job gets done and that it gets done correctly.
How are they with you guys as far as like passing those lessons, teaching you how to pass those lessons?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know that's a big part of your culture. It's one of the things that makes you guys who you are. And it's, to be honest with you, man, with companies like ours, and I mean this sincerely, I don't mean this to be sarcastic in any way or kind of cheesy, but, you know, companies like ours, we watch you guys, you know what I mean? And I've always been very public about that. I'm like, you know, guys like Andy and Sal, I've always had a real, me personally, I've always had a real keen ability to learn and watch from those guys just by observing, one, how they conduct themselves.
Yep.
Two, how they speak publicly, and then three, how they run their company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can visibly observe that. And there's been many, many, many days where we've had marketing meetings in here, we've had operations meetings in here, you know, and I've used you guys as reference, you know, like, you know, when this happened at First Form, this is kind of how I saw them handle this. Now, how do we take what I watch them do and translate it into what works with our business? You know, because I'm not talking about copying anything you guys did, but I'm talking about the process.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun, though. You know, I mean, sure. That's what we've learned too. I mean, if it's successful over here, I mean, obviously some things are going to be anomalies. It's not going to work across different businesses, but you know, I mean, there is nothing new under the sun, and you know, that's what you know, like. You talk about us passing things down and, you know, me now managing my guys the way Sal managed me, you know, I mean, that's it, you know, that's, you know, I've learned, taken the lessons that Sal has taught me over the last, you know, 7 years. And, you know, I'm just repackaging those things and doing it the exact same way with individuals. And certainly I'm not perfect at it. Sal's a much better leader than you know, I am. And he's got a lot more time doing it. So I make mistakes. I make the wrong call sometimes, but to this day, every week, you know, Sal takes time to sit down on a one-on-one basis with anybody that's running any of the departments. And I mean, that's just what we do during that time. We review, okay, what mistakes have we made? How do we overcome that next time? What objectives are we working on in the future? How are we going to handle those situations? You know, it's just time for, he's not telling me what to do. You know, he's giving me the freedom to go and act. And again, sometimes make mistakes, but always there then to correct the situation next time. So you know, every single year, okay, I'm getting a little bit better. I can handle situations on my own a little bit more, you know, and it's just taking what I've learned to, you know, implement the same way that he took the time to do with me. And sometimes that's hard to do because I want to rush the process.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to be patient, you know, especially at the time right now where, okay, we're scaling the company. The company is growing at a very quick rate. You know, it's easy to, you know, where he took a long time to develop me to do X role. You know, you want to kind of skip some of those little things that, oh, maybe from the outside don't seem that important. You know, even things from like getting together, we were talking about doing some team bonding stuff. He's very good at that, you know, making sure that, okay, we're not only working together, but every week we're, you know, he would have us come over, you know, and looking back on it, I see what he was doing. Then I just thought he was taking advantage of some free labor, you know, hey, could you come by the house, you know, before work tomorrow and we're going to do some landscaping at my place or something like that. But you know, again, it's just an opportunity to work together. He, you know, I bought into him. He bought into me. You know, I became a part of his family, you know, and that's a big deal of creating, like what you said, the loyalty behind it. You know, and, you know, making sure we continue to instill those things in our guys today is, you know, what we try to do.
That's crazy. We're right there. I mean, we're a few years behind where you guys are at right now, but yep. We're getting ready to take that step. And that's why I asked that question, because, you know, we just interviewed another guy for multimedia work, you know, that would be under Scott, you know, so we've never had to, what am I trying to say? So we've never had the opportunities, I guess, to kind of pass some of the things that Yvonne and I have done over the years down to these guys,
yeah,
and train them how to, you know, do the things that we need to get done. And, you know, the fortunate thing is on our end, which sometimes with certain people it kind of gets out of hand and maybe is our fault for not reining it in, but, you know, is creating more of that structure, because we've been very loose here. It's just kind of our culture. It's kind of our brand. And I don't make anybody wear anything specific to work. You know, we don't have, you know, any kind of office etiquette.
Yep.
You know, Scott doesn't punch a clock. He doesn't, you know, when he comes in, I know what he's working on, but I don't have to stand over his shoulder. He doesn't have to submit a report to me. Same thing with Ben, you know. I mean, Ben gives me a report because it's development, so I know what he's doing. But,
sure,
you know, at some point, our company's going to grow, and these guys are going to have a team under them. So it's always going to be important to me to continue to, one, learn myself, but then, two, learn how to teach these guys how to pass that stuff down.
Yep. And that's, you know, something Sal struggled with in the beginning too, because Sal is a very good doer and he just likes challenge. So, I mean, he's the type of personality that will just take on more and more and more. So it's easy for him not to give me an opportunity to do one of those things. And that's really the last kind of few years of him just kind of seeing, hey, you know, we're at a point where we're going to start growing very quickly. It's not realistic that I'm going to continue to just manage everything myself. Nor as a company is it necessarily wise that one person is the only person that knows how to do all of these things. You know, not to,
that's the way we are.
You hope that nothing ever bad happens to anybody in one of those type of roles, but you know, that's in kind of his, him thinking through building the business, you know, hey, look, we've got to diversify a little bit. We've got to get some guys that, you know how to do these individual things so we can start growing at a faster rate. And that's really where he, over the last few years, has you know, cultivated better leaders within the company and teaching, you know, and it just time through, you know, osmosis of being, he'll move somebody into his office. Hey, you're going to work here for the next, you know, 6 months right next to me, and you're going to learn exactly how I do this. You know, and that's an investment from the company that you're taking a guy that's, you know, one, maybe one of the top performers in another area of the company. And hey, I'm going to pull you out of your role and you're just going to learn and kind of do with me, you know, for the time being. And then to be able to send him out to do his own thing. And I'm sure you kind of probably are seeing it with Scott and some of your key guys here. Like, you know, you see, and I know Sal did this with me. I mean, he sees me doing something incorrectly, you know. It's his, you know, and it's, I think, just in our nature to want to step in and, hey, I could do that better. I could do it faster. You should do this, and not let that learning curve kind of happen where you make the mistake and, you know, have the opportunity to teach them and really, you know, make a lesson out of it.
He's a bad example because I wouldn't even know how to turn that camera on. So.
Well, that's Sal, too. He doesn't know how to use Excel spreadsheet. So,
but what you were saying is, I mean, taking somebody and doing that, what makes that hard is if that person doesn't have the humility to be able to do that, that can go bad very
for
quickly.
Sure.
And I don't, I mean, it takes a special kind of person,
yep,
who is a top performer in one area, and you go to them and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to pull you away from your job.
Yep.
And you're going to do just this for now. Not having that person like revolt or retaliate or like just completely be irate and pissed off with you for however long that is.
Sure.
That takes a special person, man.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, again, one of our core values is being humble, you know, and that's, you know, I think Andy, Sal, Chris, they all set an amazing example of this every single day. Like, it's not uncommon that I'll see, you know, Andy pick up a broom and be out in the warehouse, you know, sweeping the back of the warehouse, or Sal to come by somebody's desk and, you know, take their trash out, or, you know, just little things like that. Like, you know, they're constantly instilling, you know, like, we have our core values as a company, and a lot of, you know, maybe companies have, you know, mission statements or core values, but you know, we really do, you know, live and breathe by those in every single day. It's not that we're perfect on every single one of those core values. Certainly there's moments where maybe somebody is, you know, not humble in the moment, or, you know, nobody's perfect, but the goal is to see those every single day. We've got them big up on the wall. That's the first thing you see when you walk into our office, you know, as a reminder, is something to reflect on every day that, hey, these are things you need to strive by. And from the leadership standpoint of our company, constantly trying to keep those at the forefront of people's minds and, you know, leading by example being another one of them, you know, with all of those core values, making sure that, hey, it's happening here first. That way, sure, when we take a guy and do something like that, you know, I mean, they're humble enough to understand, okay, hey, look, you know, I'm going to have to humble myself. I don't know what I'm doing in this role. I'm going to have to learn something new. I'm not going to be great at it right away, but, you know, I'm being given an opportunity to move up in the company, you know, and I need to you know, learn how to do it and sit back and watch and learn, make some mistakes.
Man, I do it every day. Every day when I come in here, I mean, I'm quote unquote, the title of my job is CEO of this company. And
sure.
There's every day I walk through here and I'm like, am I, you know, I question whether or not I'm good enough to sit at that level, you know, with guys that run even bigger companies than ours or even smaller companies of ours. And I'm like, it takes me a while to get over it sometimes.
Sure.
I'll get down on myself quite a bit about it, and I'll second guess myself. But, you know, and then I just kind of relate different things that I do compared to some other guys. And I'm just like, you know what? All I can do is come in here every day and do the best that I can. And I'm honestly, so there, I have days where I'm kind of envious of a lot of our multi-unit franchise owners.
Sure.
These guys, I have no qualms or quarrels of admitting this. Some of these guys are better at building a team and managing a team than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, our guy in Raleigh, he's built the infrastructure that he's built between his, you know, three stores he's got there it's awesome. I mean, yeah. I go up there all the time and I'm like, or I'll call Mike on the phone. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm getting ready to go work on my truck. It's like noon on a Tuesday. But, I mean, he's got it set up to where he has his finger on the pulse of his business. But he's trained these guys and he's developed these guys. And it's just awesome, man. I mean, I never learned that. I never took the time to learn it when I should have when we first started. I had to kind of hurry up and quickly learn it on the fly. Sure. So.
I think there's a lot of value, though, to doing something like that and having to learn something on the fly. And look, I mean, it's not going to be perfect. You know, again, in all things, you're going to make mistakes. But I think there's value in, you know, going out there and being forced to learn something on your own and, you know, go out there and implement it with your team. And, I mean, the good news with you, just like the good news with us over the last few years, you know, it's a growing company. You know, I think people expect, obviously, for things not to be this finely tuned machine. Like, there's going to be mistakes. And so people are willing to go through that process of learning and getting better and evolving as a company. So, I mean, I think that's one of the coolest things about us as a company. I mean, you know, we make mistakes and, you know, but we're a team and we learn through those mistakes and get better. And, you know, we're, you know, from the team aspect, I mean, we're very accepting of all of that. So.
Sure. Well, man, thank you for coming on and spending the time with us.
Oh, no, it's an honor to be here. I'm excited to spend the weekend with you.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Looking forward to seeing Luna grown up to be a big pup.
And, she is, you know, sassy, man.
Take on Arnold here.
Last night was not a good night for me in bed.
You didn't get a lot of sleep.
I think I was up 3 or 4 times, taking her to the bathroom, and then I would be afraid to roll over on her and squish her. But
Don said Luna wasn't going to sleep in the bed last night, and lo and behold, she slept in the bed last night.
She was a psycho when we put her in that kennel. She did not like that one bit. But no, man, thank you, and thank you to everybody else at First Form. You guys are all, I mean, just from the top all the way down, I've never met somebody within that organization that had a big head on their shoulders or wasn't willing to just reach out, shake your hand, and talk to you. And
yeah,
I think that's you guys' core values, and I know I can probably speak for everybody in our company. They just align, and it's been great. It's been great working with all of you guys, so thank you.
No, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, pleasure to be on the podcast, and look forward to the weekend together.
Well, one more thing before we get off here. Yep. I need a little bit of dirt on Sal.
Ooh,
if he listens to this all the way through, we'll put this at the very end, but...
Man,
is,
I mean, Sal's pretty good about not leaving dirt.
I want to hear about a temper tantrum in the office.
I mean, that is the thing. You know, Sal, there's only been, we were joking about it like last week, or I guess it's been 2 weeks ago, before the rest of our employees came over to our new office. Just kind of what you're talking about. Like, Sal's not somebody that loses his cool very often. You know, and I was applauding for that. Like, you know, I very rarely see him, you know, get uncomfortable in a situation or, you know, just lose his cool. And there's one time, and rightfully so, he had asked company-wide for a very simple thing to be done. You know, I'm talking basic, you know, things he was asking, you know, for everybody to get done in the next week. And then showing up at the meeting the next week, you know, 80% of the company had not got it done. And he was very upset about it. And it was the most upset I've seen him ever get. Mainly because he was just, you know, disappointed in the fact that, hey, you know, we're supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z, and we're growing as a company, yet we've failed to execute such a simple task that, you know, was asked of him to do. So that was not a good day for a lot of people. Mm. Andy and Sal, they'll butt heads every once in a while. They're both good athletes, and they're both very aggressive in business. So that's, again, going back to a locker room mentality. I mean, we talk about putting, you know, a boxing ring out back just so we could settle some feuds or disputes.
I'd pay, you know, to see that.
Oh, man, it's great. It's great, you know. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's hard to rattle Sal's cage very much and you know, ask for dirt. I don't know what dirt I'd give you. He's pretty good about cleaning up after himself. And if he does make a mistake, making sure nobody knows about it.
But yeah,
I'll great. Tell you, if he does win something, you will never forget it as well.
Oh, I'm fully aware of that. That's how I introduced him when he did the headline speech at our convention last year, and that's how I introduced him. I was like, this guy coming up to talk is the only man that I've ever met that would knock over an 80-year-old woman in a foot race.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to turn around, point at her while she's down on the ground and say, I beat you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anything that we have ever competed against, even if I have actually beaten him, you know, in his mind, he will find a way to twist it to make sure that, you know, he was the actual winner of this.
I dig it.
It's you know, a trait that he will never let go. He's got to win at all things. So
yeah. Well, man, thank you again. Appreciate it. Yeah. I can't thank you and Taylor enough for making this trip and surprising me like this.
Oh, we've been
awesome.
I almost blew it multiple times. Like the other day, I was on my store and I was talking about, you know, going to. I was recording. I was like, yeah, next weekend we're going to Wilmington, North Carolina. I was like, can't post that. Don's too smart. He'll catch on.
Yeah, that's great. All right, man. Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Don. It was a pleasure.
All right, guys. Till next time.
See you.